Title of my message this morning is The Sign of Jonah. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41. 38 through 41, Matthew chapter 12, The Sign of Jonah. But before we read God's Word, let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to just come to Your house and worship You, Lord. We just ask that Your truth be proclaimed. Father, we ask the truth change our lives. Yes. Lord, we pray for the baptism after of the service. Lord, be with Ariel and help her, Lord, just walk in newness of life. Lord, I just ask, Father, if someone here does not know You as Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Amen. Lord, help us to be changed. Help us to leave here more like You than what we came in. And we give You all the glory and honor and praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All through Jesus' earthly ministry, He's been harassed by the religious leaders. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, they think that they're keeping the Old Testament law is going to get them to heaven. They hear Jesus preaching, they hear of His miracles, but they're rejecting Him because they would have to give up everything they believed in order to follow Him. It's not about ritual. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus is calling them out here because the Pharisees came and they demanded that Jesus show that He is the Son of God. Hey, they did that on the cross. They said, if You be the Son of God, come down off the cross and we'll believe You. If You be the Son of God, give us that from Roman rule and we'll believe You. No, you don't meet God on your terms. You meet God on His terms.
Amen.
So then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answering, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. We demand a sign from Thee. But He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. It's the sign that the world gets today. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up and shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Amen.
Christ has worked miracles. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the living water. I am all these things. He's done miracles that no one ever could do. He's given even illustrations about people not believing. In Luke chapter 16, He tells a story about a rich man and Lazarus. This is not the Lazarus that Christ rose from the dead. This is about two people on different ends of the economic spectrum. It said that there was a rich man and he got everything that he wanted. And he lived like it every day. There was a poor man by the name of Lazarus. And he was hungry and he was a beggar and he just wanted the crumbs from Lazarus' table. He had sores on his body and the dogs came and licked his sores. Lazarus is in a very big, miserable state. The rich man didn't do anything during their life to help Lazarus. They both died. The rich man goes to hell. And I want to tell you right now, based on the authority of God's Word, there is a little hell.
Amen.
Amen.
It's darkness. It's gnashing the teeth. It is a place of torment, is a place of eternal separation, and there is no second chance away. Lazarus went to a place called Abraham's bosom, or paradise, where Jesus said the thief we would spend that day. Because after Jesus was crucified, He went down and He preached to the spirits of prison. He took captivity captive. Those Old Testament saints were looking forward for the redemption of Christ.
Amen.
And after Christ did it, He took them to heaven. And so Lazarus is in comfort, and now The rich man is in torment. And he says, hey, Abraham. He sees Abraham afar off. He says, send Lazarus with a drop of water and put it on my tongue to quench this flame. Abraham said, can't do it. There's a great gulf between you and us, and we can't go back and forth. Pick up this in verse 27. In Luke chapter 16, verse 27, the rich man says, this is not a good place. This is a horrible place. This is eternity for me. And folks, you need to understand what you decide for here on this side of eternity impacts what you do on the other side.
Amen.
He doesn't want his brothers to be in the same spot. Don't listen to those people say, well, I'll have a big party down in hell. No, you won't. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Today we're talking about Christ rising from the dead. And this morning I'm going to ask a single question. What will it take to convince you to believe in Christ? To believe in a substitutionary death on the cross. To believe in his resurrection. You need to believe in that.
Amen.
Or you're going to be where this rich man is.
Amen.
Christ, all the way through his ministry, talks about being ready, talks about eternity, talks about heaven. Does all these things for people to believe. His disciples struggled with it. And I can understand people struggle with this. It takes faith. And John chapter 14, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes on down here in verse 11 of John 14, and he says this. He says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You need to believe today. He is risen. He is not here.
Amen.
He's on the right hand of God. He paid for your sins on the cross.
Amen.
You need to believe that. So this morning, very quickly, I want to talk about three things about this passage. First of all, who wanted a sign here? You know, if you know what's going on, you don't need to be told anything. If you know what is right and you're doing right, you don't need to be told to do right. You're just doing it. Jesus himself said, those that are whole, they need no physician. He says, I didn't come to call righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. Now, that's in a self-righteous sense. But if you know what you're supposed to be doing and you're doing it, you don't need any sign from God. You're seeing God every day. But you know something? Who needed a sign here? In this case, those who were not doing right.
Amen.
Those who were not doing right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 gives us a warning. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Don't let this day go by thinking it's what the president declared it to be. Let's go this day go by to what God declared it to be. It's
Amen.
Easter. It's the resurrection.
Amen.
There's a lot of people asleep today on this. So, who wanted a sign? Not the ones doing right, the ones who were doing wrong. And the ones doing wrong were evil people. It said, an evil and adulterous generation require a sign. There are evil people out there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And that we might be to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. God is love. He is also a God of judgment. Just because you think that you know God doesn't mean you're going to heaven.
Right.
It's your actions show what you are doing and believing. He says an evil and adulterous generation require a sign. Not everybody has faith. There's unfaithful people. And what Christ is bringing up is the lack of faith in Israel. Through the Old Testament, we see that Israel is married to Jehovah, God the Father. And His prophets say, hey, you've gone after other gods. You've been adulterous to me. You've been unfaithful to me. Who wanted a sign? The ones doing wrong, the evil ones, the unfaithful ones. Mark chapter 8, verse 38 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So who wanted a sign? Not the ones doing right. The ones who were living in their ritual. The ones who were living in the religion. The ones who thought they were doing right, but they're not doing right by God's standard. They were the ones doing wrong. Why do they want a sign? You know, Christ talks about being ready. Being ready. Being ready. Being ready. Being ready. You know, people want to see how far you go, how much you get away with. You know, when you were a kid growing up, you do something wrong, you heard your first name. That's okay. I'll keep on doing what I'm doing. And keep on doing it, and then maybe you hear your name said again a little more sternly. Better watch myself now. But then when you hear your whole name, you know you're in trouble. And then you stop. So we all live our lives based on signs of sometimes how far can we go? Why do they want a sign? So they can see how much they get away with. Are you that way today? Unbeliever? Christian? You want to see how much you can get away with? You're looking for a sign. Say, that's enough. I'll change my mind. No. Or so you can wait till the last minute to stop. Christ talks about this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 43. Talks about His second coming. Not the rapture, but His second coming. He says, but I know this. That if the good men of the house had known in what watch, or what time of the night the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Who wanted a sign? Those who wanted to see how far they can go and get away with it. Those who want to wait till the very last moment and then I'll accept Christ. You don't know what the next moment has.
Amen.
God knows. And He only knows. And so Christ tells us to be ready. Who wanted a sign? Not the ones doing right. It's the ones that were doing wrong. And why do they want a sign? Because they wanted to see if it was their way, not His way. Secondly, the sign that was given to them. He said there would be no sign given unto this adulterous and evil generation except the sign of Jonah. He goes on and says this. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be. But see, there's a lot more to this than I would like you to consider this morning. Why that sign? Why that call out to those people? And I'll give you some biblical answers. First of all, Jonah could relate to them because Jonah was rebellious. He's given us, he's talking about the sign. He says an evil and adulterous generation requires a sign. Jonah rebelled. We know the story in Jonah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Jonah was given a job to preach, repent, that they needed to repent. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into the Tarshish from the what? From the presence of the Lord. See, who's he talking to? He's talking to Pharisees and scribes that don't want the presence of God. That are rebelling. They're just like Jonah. But also, Jonah was one who experienced God's mercy. He recognized his rebellion. In Jonah 1, verse 12, it says that he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea." You know what happened? When Jonah got on the ship, first day was okay. Then all of a sudden the storm came up, and there was nothing they could do to deal with the storm. And they started calling out to their gods. And they're saying, "Why is this happening to us? The weather report's all wrong." And Jonas comes and says, "That's because of God's judgment." He said, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." He was one who was in rebellion, but he was one who experienced God's mercy because he recognized his rebellious spirit. And Christ wanted them to know their rebellious spirit also. He realized God's judgment. "Throw you overboard? Nah, we'll never do that." They tried everything they can, and they finally said, "You know, that's not a bad idea." They threw him overboard. And in verse 15, it says, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." Whoa. Can you imagine being the other sailors on the ship when they threw Jonah overboard and all of a sudden everything got calm? Jonah's right. Jonah's God is the God. Now let's go back to Jonah and what these people needed, except for a sign, what they really needed. Jonah realized God's mercy. "Because where sin abounds, grace therefore much more abound." In Jonah chapter 1 verse 17, it says, "Now this Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." Now you might not think that's a good solution, but any solution that works from God is the right one. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. He was out of sight. He was under the sea. He was all that stuff. He thought he was going to die. You know, when we're face to face with some big thing, we kind of reflect on ourselves. God knew what was going to happen. So Jonah got eaten by the fish. In the belly of the fish, he repents of his rebellion. What did Christ want those scribes and Pharisees to do? To believe on him. Christ said, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice." So what does this 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish do for Jonah? Made him recognize his rebellion, made him recognize God's judgment, made him recognize God's mercy, made him recognize his rebellion. He repented of it, and then he was reconciled to God. And the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited Jonah out on the dry land. You know, there's some after effects of that. Jonah stunk. They didn't need to see him coming. They smelled him. But you know something? He was reconciled by God in that death experience out of sight of man for 3 days and three nights. Christ's death, burial, resurrection reconciles us to God the Father.
Amen.
It's because of his mercy. It's because of his judgment. The judgment of all of our sin was on the cross on Christ. He was renewed by God. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it unto it the preaching that I bid thee." This time, what did Jonah do? He had a change of heart. He had a change of life. He had a change of direction. He had a change of purpose. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. That's what happens when you meet Christ. It changes you.
Amen.
Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It took 3 days to get right across. But here's the interesting thing. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. If you study this gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 12, he says, there's no sign given to this rebellious and adulterous generation except the sign of the Jonah. And in Matthew 16, he gives the sign a second time. There's it after he fed the 5,000. There are so much similarities here that we need to understand that. So Jonah comes into Nineveh all smelling. And he starts preaching. Now we get back to our passage. In verse 41, it says here, it says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. See, the Ninevites confessed. They repented and they confessed. Verse 10 of Jonah chapter 3 says that Jonah and God saw their works, that they turned from their wicked, evil way. And God repented of the evil that He said that He would do unto them, and He did not. When you understand about the cross and the resurrection of Christ, it needs to change you. They were asking for a sign. God gave them one right out of the Old Testament, right out of their scripture. They could see this. And then He also warned them. He said that the Ninevites' future condemnation of those present, He says that they shall rise in judgment against this generation. You know why? Because they rejected the sign. They rejected the sign. Their condemnation is because they rejected God's word. And then they rejected God's Son. Yes, Christ is going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And that's the picture of Jonah. But the real issue is, why Jonah? Because Jonah was just like them. And Jonah needed God just like them. And God took Jonah on a death experience to show that He wants to reconcile and redeem him and renew him and make him do something different. Do not reject the message of Christ's resurrection.
Amen.
He is not here. There are billions of people today that said that Jesus Christ was not crucified. That He did not die. Billions. They said He swooned. They said that He was removed off the cross. He just fainted. And He was unconscious when they took Him off the cross. No, He died for sin. For the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Luke 24. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful man, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then goes on and says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And here's the sad part about it. Luke chapter 24, verse 11, it says, and their word seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. It took a while for them to understand. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. You really don't understand what the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ means. It's the sign to you. It's a sign that gives you eternal life. It's a sign that gets you out of God's judgment. It's a sign that you need to heed and not ignore. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you died right now, would you say you're going to heaven, or is that something you say you're still working on? If you say, I'm still working on it, you're not going. I'm just going to be very blunt this morning. You're not. You can't be working on it. God did it on the cross.
Yeah.
His resurrection is the piece of it that makes our faith not worthless. Suppose you were to stand before God and you ask him, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? There's only one answer. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And now I ask him for forgiveness of my sins. I ask him to give me eternal life, and he did. That's it. Are we being evil? Are we being adulterous? Don't wait for the sign. Except the one that's right in front of you right now. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to hear your word. Father, I just pray that it would move on our hearts right now. Lord, I pray if someone does not know you as Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Father, help us, Lord, to follow you fully. We ask these things in Jesus' name.